It's a great pleasure to have on a recent guest of my After Hours Sunday show, because I figure no one who stays up that late is up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Mike Houlihan is in here. Mike is a writer, a radio host, an actor, an entrepreneur, many, many things. But this book, Nothing's on the Square, catalogs in very incisive and honest and truthful sort of diary fashion the time he spent with Chuy Garcia's campaign in the last mayoral race and the unprecedented runoff. How'd you get involved? I know you keep saying I did it for money.
Every time you say this book, you get this queasy look on your face.
No, I don't.
Like, I love this book. It's going to explode any minute.
I love this book. There's some people who might not have you on the radio to talk about it.
Yes, exactly.
But, Mike, you say I didn't start this to offend anybody. Writing a book was never my intention when I hired on for this campaign. Just wanted to pick up a few extra bucks.
Well, that was the plan, yeah.
That was the plan, but you changed in the course of the
campaign. Well, you know what? A friend of mine, Mike Joyce, Pickle Joyce, called me and said, you want to make some money? I said, yeah, sure, how much money? And I hardly knew who Chuy Garcia was, and I just researched him and found out that he went to St. Rita. And I thought, well, we can pitch him as a guy from the neighborhood, because a lot of the people in 19th, we were hired to work the 19th Ward and the right. Irish ethnic wards. And there's a lot of Santa Rita graduates there, as well as all the other Catholic high schools. So we met him. We went in the first day and met him. He was just a terrific guy, very great self-deprecating wit, and we got hired. It became, after a while, it was about the money and chasing the check down and everything.
Well, of course. But
when you get in a fight, and you know who we were fighting with,
I'm
Emmanuel.
Yep.
And that's when it was an open field when we first started, but it was like, well, you got to zero in on this guy.
Were you at all, Mike, and in the campaign, I know you were just concentrating on the 19th Ward, were you at all worried about the other people in the campaign, like Fioretti?
Well, you know what? Fioretti is an old friend of mine,
right.
Bob, and he actually has invested in some of my theatrical things. And when I got the call, I thought, uh-oh. So I went online, and I donated $25 to Fioretti. And then I called and said, okay, I'll take the job.
Just to square yourself away.
But I didn't see – Fioretti didn't have a base, you know?
Yeah.
A white guy, grew up in Roseland, terrific guy. Went to Mendel Catholic.
Right.
But he didn't have the base that Chuy had or what we thought he had.
Did you, as you first got into this, and it is all, again, detailed in this fascinating and very compelling — Mike's a very good writer, and it's a very compelling read — Nothing's on the Square. Did you at any point start to believe, wait a minute, maybe?
Oh, sure. I was thinking about being in the cabinet.
Any specific job? Director of special events.
Commissioner of tomfoolery.
A new office.
I was hoping. They weren't paying me that much money anyway, so I figured, well, maybe I'll get something else out of it. I'll move to Chicago and become a resident again. But I wasn't that sold on it, and towards the last week, it didn't look so good.
Were you surprised that that it became a runoff? Because that is unprecedented.
No, we knew. We were pretty, and the people on the campaign were pretty excited about it. He was the most logical guy. Even Cass in the Tribune pointed out, Chuy's the one that's going to make it a problem for Rahm Emanuel. And he was.
Yeah.
Because he had the biggest piece of the pie. But you know what? Without Willie Wilson, Dr. Willie Wilson, there could have been no runoff. I think he got 8 or 9%, and that was key. So he was another factor. It was a question of, three or four candidates helped. But without Willie Wilson, there is no runoff. I will say that.
Well, what you really detail in here, too, Mike, is what you deem sort of the unfair media coverage of this whole thing. I mean, including the shameful, I thought, series of debates held by Channel 11.
Right. Phil Ponce. He went after Chuy because his son had been arrested for a misdemeanor, and he was accused of being a gang member. And in the middle of the debate, Phil Ponce throws that in his face. The audience gasped.
Yeah.
They actually started booing the moderator, and he turned around, excuse me, And here he is, a fellow Latino, attacking what who could have been the first Latino mayor of Chicago, and saying
it was. I mean, it was on every level an unfair attack.
It was really low. And he lived two doors down from Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah.
I don't know if he does anymore. But.
Well, that goes to the title of your book, Nothing's on the Square. You guys only lost by 11%.
Was right. 65,000 votes.
Yeah. And you write here, we did see a path to victory, but as the saying goes, the best laid plans of mice and men go awry. You were not pleased with the campaign management. You thought that they took their eye off.
They were caught up in this wonky kind of left-wing philosophy. And it's like, this is Chicago. There's not enough people that are going to vote that way. They're voting man-to-man, you know. It's one guy against one guy at that point. I don't think they hit Rahm hard enough and
Chewy, though, and you knew him well, and I shouldn't even call him Chewy. I've only met him a few times, but he...
Well, you're not going to call him Jesus.
Well, that's true. That's or Mr. Garcia. I'd more likely call him Mr. Garcia.
Jesus. I mean, Jesus.
Mr. Garcia. He seemed, and you would know better than I, he seemed reluctant to get in a fist fight with Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And that, and you
told
feel
him
that...
I kick this guy in the cojones, and he was like, what? I said, this is a street fight. Come on, you went to school on the South Side. You got to know what this is all about. You got to come out swinging.
Did the 19th Ward, you know, filled with a lot of Irishmen and women and cops and firefighters and teachers, did you see that area? I know he lost the ward, but did you see the area warm to him in a way that might have been effective across the city?
At the St. Patrick's Day, South Side St. Patrick's Day Parade, they loved him. But they loved him in the downtown St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Yeah.
And I think that drove some of the Rahm supporters nuts because, you know, Rahm's not the warmest guy, you know.
He's the coldest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they embraced you, especially on the South Side. There was when we were lining up for the South Side Parade, Rahm had been taken off the schedule for the South Side Parade. And we learned later because he didn't want to march by himself as the mayor for fear of being booed.
Wow.
He got booed anyway. It's the South Side. He got booed anyway, but he was with the unions, so they kind of protected him.
This book is an essential book. There have been a lot of campaign books are written about national campaigns, but none that I recall is as forceful a look at local politics than Mike Houlihan's Nothing's on the Square. Before we take a commercial break, he's obviously running next year. You see anybody who might give him a viable challenge.
I was reading
today
about this black guy who was the head of the Principals Association, Troy Levere.
Yeah.
He would be a possibility. You know?
The problem being
money.
Money.
You got to have the money.
It is always money.
Yeah.
We'll come back and talk to Mike about his radio show, his ongoing series of events in promotion of Nothing's on the Square, and in late September, the third edition of the one and only, and I do mean one and only, Irish American Film Festival. We'll be right back. Talking to Mike with Mike Houlihan, the easiest way to get his book, Nothing's on the Square, is through Amazon.
Right.
Mike Houlihan, Houlihan. You are also a radio star doing a show. You're doing it tonight, right?
I'm doing it tonight at Lizzie McNeil's, 6 to 7, over right on the river. Tomorrow night I have another show at the Irish American Heritage Center. It's called The Crack. It's all Irish music that I co-host with Gino Cooney, the Undertaker magician, comedian.
aren't all Undertaker
He's a
magicians,
riot,
though? Aren't
they
all? Yeah. You also started 3 years ago, this would be the third one, the first Irish American Film Festival, which is called the Irish American Hooli at the Gene Siskel Film Center.
Irish American Movie Hooli.
Movie Hooli. Yeah. MovieHooli.org is how to find out about it. Remind me why you... I'm going to be reviewing the films this year, too.
I had a film called Our Irish Cousins that tells the story
love that
of me
movie.
Finding my roots and everything. And it got in festivals, and we were out at Sundance and stuff. But I wanted to go to Ireland and show the film there, and I could not get into any... Because I was an American. And then I said, well, I'll try and find an Irish-American film festival, and there weren't any.
I know. Were you flabbergasted
yeah.
by that? Yeah.
When you think of that, there's 70 million Irish-Americans. So I thought, you know what? I'm starting my own. And it worked out.
Were you surprised? I have reviewed, I've certainly seen, I think I've reviewed the first six of the first 2 years.
You did, yeah.
And incredibly favorably because three or four of these films are among the best films I've ever seen. Were you surprised by the quality of what came in?
The first year, the quality wasn't that great. First year, I'm showing three films and I had four submitted. It's like, oh, swell. But I went out and found some. I went out and found Irish filmmakers and stuff. And now that we're getting a bit of a reputation, the quality has picked up much more. But I still go back to filmmakers that I know in Ireland and say, what do you got? What's hot? What's out there? And they'll send me stuff, which is a big help, I'll tell you.
And one of the other great things about it is you are able, through maybe airlines or something, to fly.
Yeah, we fly the
some of the filmmakers in, and after the movies, people get to spend time with them.
They stay all weekend. The Hilton puts them up. The Hilton is one of our sponsors. So when they come in, they don't come in just for their screening. They come in for the whole weekend, and they meet the other filmmakers.
Yeah.
It's all about, you know, networking with other filmmakers and getting to know their work. So it's just a gas. We have an opening night party at the Emerald Loop right over on Wabash.
Right here.
Our pal Eamon Vaughn throws that. So the opening night is a... And Two Gingers Irish Whiskey provides all the free whiskey. How could we go wrong?
You know how to do this. You're a born
go get the free stuff.
Entertainment entrepreneur.
Oh, thank you.
I know some from people who've been to the festival. That meeting of the filmmakers. Some of them is the highlight, and that is really, really the highlight
because it's cool. Yeah.
It's a way for them to touch the creative side of the
and
island.
Ask them questions and what were you thinking and stuff like that. And yeah,
have you thought to expand it?
No, I mean I've thought to it, and I thought, you know what, it's enough work as it is with just three.
Yeah,
and there's something more special about it when there's just three.
I couldn't agree
more.
That
weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the three we get three gems every year. You know.
Well, the ones that I saw, a Doctor's Sword. I remember them. I remember a Doctor's Sword, which was about a remarkable Irishman in World War II, and how
he was
come
a prisoner
home.
Of war at Nagasaki.
Yeah, exactly, and survived Nagasaki
survived.
And came
and
home.
Then and then he survived. He was on a transport ship, and they got torpedoed. He survived that.
Yeah. No, I was watching that. I said, okay, this is a documentary, but I still can't. It's almost hard to believe.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah.
Then his relatives, his kids, hook up with the man whose sword it was. It's an astonishing thing.
You know what? His kids went and got him on the BBC before he died, and they asked him on the BBC, how did you do it?
Yeah.
How'd you survive all that? And he said, my Irish Catholic upbringing. I went, this is the movie we want. Perfect. And he was right. I mean, it gave him the strength to keep going. Amazing story.
And then there was another one. I think it was from that year, too, whether it was kind of a dramatization of a guy who was a...
Oh, yeah, that was the docudrama, One for the Ditch, actually.
It was like the...
Name Your Poison, they changed the title to.
Name Your Poison. It was about a...
It was a guy in the Browery, an Irish guy, an Irish immigrant, and he was a rummy.
Yeah.
And these Italian guys, mobsters, took an insurance policy out on his life, figured he's going to be dead next week. And then they tried everything. First they tried to drink him to death. They said, here, have as many drinks as you want. And he said, thanks. He would get hammered and then come back the next day, walk back in the door, and they'd be like, he's still alive.
Well, and then they'd say, take your clothes off and go walk in the snow.
Yes. And they did that too.
Take your clothes off and... Walk in the snow and lie in the road and get run over by a carriage.
He got run over by a taxi.
What an astonishing...
They couldn't, but they finally killed him. But it took him a lot. They called him the Rasputin
of the Bowery. You can get all the... This takes place at the Gene Siskel Film Center over a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 29th, 30th, and October 1st. You can get all the information you need by going to MovieHooly. MovieHooly.org. That's not a play on your name. That has meaning.
Well, sort of.
Sort of.
It's a different spelling.
But what
is
it?
Hooly is a party.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
and you know how to throw a party.
Thank you.
Where can people listen to your radio show?
We're on WCEV every Saturday from 3 to 4. It's also a podcast at skinnyhooly.com. And look, they're bringing me a whole case of water.
That's great. That's what you deserve. And this is the woman who runs the station, too.
Hi.
Stephanie. How are you?
Thank you.
You'll have a free ticket to
the
movie
Hooli.
Tell the
boss to bring me some water.
Yeah, get the boss down here. No one else wants any. Yeah. Well, stick around, too. Your buddies are coming in here after the news.
Let me get a plug in for
sure.
Thursday night. I'm at the Irish American Heritage Center signing the book, Nothing's on the Square. And then next Monday, I'm at Beverly Arts Center signing the book. And then next Tuesday, I'm at Duffy's Tavern in Forest Park where my son Billy tends bar.
So let me put in a plug, too. In the foreword to Nothing on the Square, written by the legendary reporter, Tribune reporter Jim Strong, former Tribune reporter, he says, meeting Mike Houlihan is an experience not soon, if ever, forgotten. Stormy and Mike go way back.
You know, when I first moved back to Chicago from New York, where I was for a dozen years, I had a very lucky... I produced and directed Peter Nolan's play, The 51st Ward, about politics. And that's how I met Jimmy Strong and Pete. And I was adopted kind of into this
journalist
world. It was like the front page.
Yeah.
And boy, those guys could drink. Let me
Yes, they could.
What I couldn't do was get up the next day. They always answered the bell. It was amazing.
Well, that's the way we used to make them in this business.
Yeah.
Mike Houlihan, ladies and gentlemen.